Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts. Hit it.
So in the fickle and treacherous music business, you can be a one-hit wonder, a near miss, or you can hang around too long and end up tired and stale, trapped in the dead stardom of greatest hits and oldies. It's the rare artist who can stay sharp and fresh and find new challenges along the way. Rare like Sheryl Crow. When she thinks about her long career, singer and songwriter Sheryl Crow does not look to her 9 Grammys, numerous platinum records, and hits like Leaving Las Vegas, Every Day is a Winding Road, My Famous Mistake, My Favorite Mistake, and others. She says getting somewhere in music begins with knowing where you came from. Her new album is called 100 Miles from Memphis. In Sheryl Crow's life, the authentic voice of the blues was always right around the corner.
Yeah, actually from a really small town in southern Missouri called Kennett, and it's about 106 miles from Memphis. And when I was a kid, Memphis was the big city, so it's quite a mystical place for me. Even still, it is. A lot of great music came out of there that was a big influence on me as a kid. And when I was a kid growing up, people didn't travel as much. So when we went to Memphis, it was a big thing.
Big deal,
you know, we went
yeah.
to see Santa Claus. We went twice a year, probably.
And 100 miles from Memphis back then was halfway around the world.
Absolutely, yeah.
You know, this is an album that seems like both a step back to your roots, but also a step forward because you have to move forward and find fresh challenges as an artist. Is it both or more one than the other?
It's more really revisiting my earliest influences and really committing to that stylistically and sonically. I don't really think so much anymore about the direction I should be taking or, you know, as far as my career is concerned. I've been around so long, and I'm sort of at a point now where as long as I'm loving what I'm doing, then hopefully the authenticity in that will resonate.
Well, it sounds like you're loving doing this. Listen to this.
I saw you ranting on TV today. I heard you tell me to reload. You got a lot of nerve to talk that way. Someone unplug the microphone.
The theme of that song, Say What You Want from 100 Miles from Memphis, it seems to me, is freedom of speech as a weapon sometimes.
It is, but also it's sort of an indictment on what leadership is becoming in this country. And the fact that everybody can get a microphone, get a radio show, get a platform, and use words in what I feel like is a... sometimes a dangerous way. You know, there's a lot of fear being catapulted around, and people are really jumping on that bandwagon. And when you use words like reload, I feel like that really evokes violence as opposed to motivation. So
Sarah Palin's breaking the rules, in your view?
I don't know about breaking the rules. I think the rules are being rewritten, and it definitely concerns me that what leadership now is being defined as is not the kind of leadership that I grew up with, which was leaders talking about the greatness that exists in us and the possibility of what this country can be, as opposed to inciting fear in these large groups of people.
There's a directness to a political song like this that it seems to me that speaks to your whole career. There's been a kind of a directness, a freshness, a sort of a I hear immediately what she's saying quality to Sheryl Crow. Do political songs in this particular case allow you to be more direct with your audience?
I guess, you know, as I've gotten older, and particularly on the last record, having a newborn son, I definitely felt a sense of urgency about getting to the point, and more so than any other record I've done. You know, I've sort of preambulated around a lot of topics, but the last record was definitely about the comment, about the commentary. And I feel like, at least in my circles, people are talking about these very things, and yet nobody is really writing about it. So it's just a really provocative time to be an artist.
Well, you know, and you are an artist. I mean, listen to one of my favorite very early tunes of yours. You say you've been around so long, you make me feel old. But you haven't been around that long. This is from 1993, Leaving Las Vegas.
Used to be I could drive up to Barstow for the night. Find some crossroad trucker, demonstrate his might.
I remember so vividly even the music video here of the little Elvises moving on the shadows there on the road. This was such a fresh sound. I mean, it was traditional in a certain sense, but it was as though you created a sound. What did that feel like?
You know, I wasn't really aware of it at the time. I mean, I knew what we were doing was definitely something special, and I knew that the producer that I was working with had a very unique take on not only sonics and style, but on life in general. And that definitely, I think the combination of all of us together working on this project and the seediness of it, you know, there was a lot of drinking, a lot of late night carousing a lot of conspiracy theorizing.
Yeah.
It was a very sort of literati kind of intellectual group, and that definitely enhanced the writing for me. It felt special, but I wasn't really thinking about radio and commerciality and all that.
Tell me about this cover here.
Oh.
I mean, you've got the Sheryl Crow blade edge there. Mm. You've got a kind of Bonnie Raitt sort of smokiness in there. And it's an angry song.
It is that, you know, it's so funny. It's such a good song, and I would love to say that I picked that song, carried it around for ages, and said, I'm going to cover this. My manager walked in when we were kind of trying to figure out what the rhythm section was going to be for the record and what the sonics and what the committed style was going to be. And so we were working on covers, and he said, why don't you do this song by Terrence Trent? And what a testament.
Trent D'Arby's Sign Your Name.
Yeah, great song. And it's just, and then Tommy Sims, who's this amazing bass player, started playing like this Al Green thing, and it was just obvious. And then Justin Timberlake was down the hall at the studio where we were working, and he was working with Jamie Foxx. And I said, I want you to come listen to this. And he came in the studio and he said, you know I'm from Memphis. And I said, yes. And he said, who's got the backgrounds on this? And I said, I haven't even thought about it yet. And he's like, well, I got it. And he came in a couple of days later and did it.
That's so great.
It was really a cool experience.
So from a manager's sort of idea, what's this song? You should try this out. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, boom, it's like a homecoming.
Yeah, it's great. You know, those are those little happy moments where there's not a lot of thought going into it, but it just works out beautifully. And you step away from it and think, wow. That really turned out great.
Well, the album is 100 Miles from Memphis, which is where you grew up. 100 Miles from Memphis, Sheryl Crow. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Well, you can stay close to us when you head over to the site, thetakeaway.org. You can track the stories we're following, checking out our blog, and subscribe to the podcasts so you don't miss any segments like that one with Sheryl Crow. That's at thetakeaway.org. I'm Celeste Headlee.
I'm John Hockenberry. This is The Takeaway.